Hi there, my name is Jamie Mackay and I lead the Postgraduate Learning and Teaching programmes at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. The following podcast is part of a series of interviews with graduates of the part-time MEd in Learning and Teaching in the Arts programme. This programme is delivered on a blended learning model but can also be studied fully remotely. All participants on the programme have a role as an arts educator, and the programme is designed to help them develop their teaching practice and their arts practice, and it culminates in a self-designed final project. For more information on the programme, check the website on rcs.ac.uk/MED. In this podcast, I'm very pleased to be interviewing Jo Turbutt. When she studied in the programme, Jo worked in a further education college teaching dance, and she now works for the College Development Network. So, first question, easy one. Could you introduce yourself and say a little about your current role as an arts educator?
Certainly. Hi, my name is Jo Turbutt. Currently, as an arts educator, I'm working with creative pedagogies, creative and critical thinking pedagogies, in the context of supporting the wider workforce across the FE sector in employing those creative and critical pedagogies within their practice, no matter what their curriculum, vocational practice subject area is.
Thank you. When you're working with learners, what's your goal?
My goal is that they build capacities and capabilities in meta skills within their practice. So while specialisms are really important within the arts, you know, whether it's dance, drama, fine art, sculpture, music, poetry, literature, illustration, I think there's something about having the creative confidence and that capacity and capability to have resilience, to collaborate, and, you know, being told and signposted, you know, oh, what you're doing now is, you know, collaboration and stuff. It's great, but actually when they get the opportunity to apply that and then reflect back and go, oh, I've developed that, I've picked that up and I'm using that, and I'm building that as part of my response to a challenge, to an assessment brief, to an assignment brief, to anything, to a task, that's the goal. And that's when you really see students kind of go, oh, yeah, and they're building that efficacy, they're building the association with learning, within that kind of tense, because it is quite tense sometimes in a workshop where they're going, oh, I have to be creative. And they sometimes put a lot of pressure on themselves. And actually, when they're building, to have them build those responses and be able to go, yeah, I can do this. And then out with of the learning environment, they're then able to use them. That's the main thing, really.
And what are the barriers that get in the way of achieving that goal?
Overall, it's the resistance to change. It can also be people's fear of failing, and within that, you know, because innovation, in order to go down the pathway of innovation, you have to go, hiya, failure, I'm going to, you know, take you by the hand and we're going to walk down this together, because it's integral. And a lot of people try and jump over that or skip over it or pretend it's not there. So big barrier is when people just instantly resistant because they've either got a fear of it or they've had really bad experiences of it. And it's kind of trying to unpack that and then support them in moving forward throughout that growth mindset, in a way, and support that challenge and go, it's all right, you know, let's test it, let's fail, let's fix. And then you're going around in that cycle to then come out the other side. But people are so resistant to that. They're so resistant to change. They're so resistant to taking on a different perspective sometimes when they're going, but this is the way, this is the way and the only way, and this is the way that I've been taught, rather than, oh, hang on a minute, let's take a wee step back, see it from this point of view. Oh, actually, I've now got another way into this. So it's a little bit getting people to think laterally about things is a huge, huge barrier. It's a huge challenge, actually, but a fun one.
So leading on from that, what strategies do you use to help you achieve that goal or deal with that barrier?
One of the strategies is to, first of all, understand where people are coming from, to know the story, to know their, know their narrative to what got them to this point, to where I'm meeting them, to where I'm face to face in a workshop with them. And then understand where their gaps are, and then think, right, okay, is there a way that I can contextualize this? Is there a way that I can take this task and say, okay, let's now think about it from this point of view, or be able to go, what are the main things here that really need to be addressed, or that I need to help support them with so that they can move forward with this? And a lot of the time, using strategies like visual mind mapping, using strategies where I use morphological analysis a lot in what I do. So saying, right, okay, this is what you're trying to achieve. Here's your different things that you want to achieve. And then allowing them to find the possibilities in each of those things, and then connect them, what they initially thought was were misconnected or could never be connected. So that's become a bit, you know, a huge big spanner in my toolkit, as it were. You know, it's the thing that I always reach for and go, let's try this. But the main thing, I think, is understanding where they're at, and appreciating that, and, you know, giving them that space to voice that and reflect on it. And maybe things aren't as bad as what they thought initially. And then being able to move forward from there, I think, is really, really important.
And how do you measure your success as an arts educator then?
Big question. When I was lecturing, the success was when you saw a student who initially came in, you know, going, oh my goodness, I'm not creative. And then helping them understand what creativity means, what it is. You know, it's not measured in terms of the paintings that you do, or the, you know, the how well you can draw. That's not a measure of creativity. Creativity is about, you know, being able to take something in this and then go, poof, and I found this new thing. And then watching them grow and watching them go through the tricky bits, the bits where they go, this isn't working. And then watching as they go, ah, I now can find something else in this because I've tried it. So that, and seeing that journey, was always the journey was, for me, was always more important than the final outcome. But now working with different colleges across Scotland and going and just seeing little light bulbs go on, and seeing people adopt, just maybe if it's one thing, or go, oh, I was resistant to change, but now I'm kind of sitting forward in my seat. So it's in terms of measuring that, there's feedback, but it's also subliminal in a way. You know, it's almost like the soft stuff that you can't really measure, but I think over time, if the butterfly effect of adopting different perspectives and different ideas will kind of ripple out, and I think we'll see innovations within assessment practices and stuff, and like building up this, hopefully a network of collaborative, creative facilitators in not just in arts curriculum, but across engineering, science, technology, and maths and stuff, where they maybe think, no, this is it. It's like, no, let's try different things. And I guess the other thing is also within their learners and their how they support the people who they initially thought couldn't, and actually a year down the line can. So lots of things in there. I don't know if that's helpful.
Absolutely, yeah. I know you've talked about two roles there, your previous lecturing role and your current role, and you may want to answer this next question different for each, or you might have the same response. How would you describe the ideal relationship between you and whoever is your learner in that context?
Ideal relationship. It's about respect. I think when you think about the session, you know, you come in and it's about learning from each other, but initially as the facilitator, you know, leading, and you know, you're putting stuff forward, and having a task, having an environment where you can suggest something, or you set people off on a task or a workshop, and learning from them as you go, and then responding to that. And in order for that to happen, there has to be a respect there. You have to listen. You have to. Does that help? Is that right?
There's no right or wrong answers. I'm just interested in the relationship in terms. And I suppose I could ask a follow-up question, which might also relate to that. What would you call yourself? What's your job title? Because you mentioned facilitator, you mentioned lecturer. What job title do you resonate most with?
Gosh, good question. I would say overall it's a creative agitator, maybe. I don't know. Creative educator, facilitator. I like the term facilitator because it means that you're involved very much, rather than, you know, standing at the front, you know, saying stuff and hoping that people will listen, you know, or take it on board. I think there's a thing about being a facilitator and a practitioner. That even within my role within College Development Network, I still very much think of myself as a facilitator, because speaking of stories, you know, that's my story that's got me to here, and there's skills and knowledge and experience that I bring to everything that I do, as a facilitator, whether that's leading a workshop, whether that's leading a network or a professional learning community, getting people to think about things. And so I'm a creative facilitator. Let's call it that.
Very good. Thank you. You've touched on many of these things already, but if you had to narrow it down to three, what three values are central to your practice as an arts educator? You can take your time to think about them.
What values? So it's important that what I do is supportive, supports the participants to grow in what they're doing. It's important collaboration. Both within tasks that I do and also in my work. And asking what if, I think that kind of innovation, karaoke confidence, there we go. That's it. That grab the mic, don't know if you know the song, but let's sing the notes and see what ones work. And oh well, if they don't, at least you've tried it and you've learnt from it. That's, yeah, I would say those 3/4 things.
Okay, so that's supportive collaboration, asking what if, and a karaoke confidence. That's values. Yeah. Thank you. Excellent. Okay, so if you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or imagined, or real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
Only one.
Okay, 3. Well, we'll see, but we've got enough time for you to have 3.
A few.
Yeah.
Well, I've given this a lot of thought, and I keep coming back to David Bowie. Really just in who he was, in how he approached art, how he approached what he did, how he approached his attitudes to just living, and also that honest kind of cutting through the noise, not really, you know, yeah, okay, all this stuff is going on, but you know, asking those really direct questions that make you go, never thought about that. You know, and having a different perspective on things, and also challenging people's perspectives. I think sometimes when you're working away, it's really important. It would be great to phone them up and go, right, I'm trying to do this. But have you thought about it from this point of view? Or what you're doing there is your, or that's really good. You know, let's develop it. Someone else would be, who's also sadly not with us, is Diaghilev, the guy who started up the Ballet Russe back in 1800s, mainly because he just at that time was an innovator and just asked those, just went, right, okay, well, let's try it, and brought together all this different stuff, and people rebelled, and people, you know, walked out of his shows, and because dance at that time was at a specific, like, this is, it was quite rigid, and he came in and had people dancing in parallel, and people went, and there was a big, you know, they left the theatre. But he also brought together Picasso and, you know, Toulouse-Lautrec and Tchaikovsky and Stravinsky, and had all these people just coming in and doing all this amazing stuff. And without him, I don't think the dance world would have maybe been able to ask that those questions. So I would love to be able to phone him up and go, oh, I've got this idea. And then people that are currently with us, I would say I would definitely, and during my time on the course, it was always great to throw something out there, and then you would say, ah, but why? You know, what this is great idea, but I think you need to think a little bit more about that. And as a creative artist, you go, whoa, I've had this dream. And then people go, there's a wee gap there, and there's a wee gap there that you missed. Also Annie's, you know, brilliant to go to, because you get real answers, you know, you get, you know, very supportive but very real answers. And a former colleague, Kerry Heathcote, also, you know, great. So and all for different reasons, you know, those three. And then of course fictionally, you've got the whole Jedi Council, I think, you know, channel Yoda or you know, Mace Windu or somebody, you know what I mean, to just go, yeah, let's whack out the lightsaber, and you know, or these are not the pedagogies you're looking for, you know, big range. Yeah.
Okay. So if you could ask this board of advisors that you've gathered here, if you could ask them one question, what question would you ask them?
Oh my gosh. What question would I ask? I don't know.
Quite a time to think it through. I would suggest in relation to your arts practice or your arts education practice.
One of the things, because one of the things I'm focusing in on at the moment is about this, the interdisciplinary, transdisciplinary future, really, of education. And I think in terms of arts education, that collaborative work is really important. And I think the nature of collaboration is changing. I think people are recognizing that, and I'm starting to recognize, you know, how multifaceted, and it all depends on people's understanding of it. Gosh, what would I ask? I think questions that I'm thinking about, I need a crystal ball. Do you know what I mean? what would I ask?
Maybe easy to think of. What would you ask David Bowie?
What would I ask David Bowie? What would I ask David Bowie? I really, really don't know.
It's interesting. Go on, Chance. He's just about to go again. He's popped up.
Oh no, don't say that. That makes me sad. what would I ask David Bowie?
It doesn't have to be the one single question, but if you could ask him a question, it might be even pertinent to you right now, this challenge that you're facing right now. Because, okay, let's say that you can talk to him anytime, but your question for him today is what?
I think it comes down to when you hit adversity, how do you really steel yourself for it? How do you approach that challenge without feeling defensive about where you're at?
Yeah.
That would be the question, actually.
And what do you think David Bowie would say?
I don't think I can say this as part of this interview.
We'll bleep it out, it's fine.
I think he would say, you know, everything that you need right now, you've got. And if people are challenged, almost like, I think his answer would be to understand the person who's challenging you. That's what I think he would say. Because thinking back to his interviews and where people were, you know, quite challenging to him, his response and his manner was very much, well, you know, it was very calm, very collected, and just very astute in what he said, and very to the point, down to earth. I think he would say that. Yeah.
What do you think Diaghilev would say that question?
I think he would just go, doesn't matter, just keep doing your thing. People will either love it or they'll hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So thank you for that. I've got one final question. Is there anything else you'd like to say about your arts education practice that would help someone listening to this understand it more, understand your approach?
Let me think. Teach from where you're at. I think, you know, go approach every session from where you're at at that point, because your students, your participants will get something from that. Don't pretend to be, don't try and be someone else in what you're doing. Be you, because your students and your your workshop participants will get so much out of that. And if you do that, you also will be able to respond and listen to the room and respond to the room. And don't be afraid. If you go in there with this lesson plan and you think, yep, we're gonna go here today, and you walk in and you judge the room and go, oh, they're not ready for that, or they're way ahead of me here. Right, okay, let's really respond to that. And doesn't matter, you know, you'll get there, they'll get there in the end. And it's about the now, very much about, I think both of those answers lead up to, you know, work with the now and use that and use it to your advantage.
Excellent. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure hearing your responses to these questions.
Great questions. You stumped me.
I got you eventually.
You did. But no, really good and interesting to be asked, you know, what I think David Bowie and Diaghilev would say, because it's almost like saying, well, Joe, you already know that. So, you know, that was quite interesting. This was a reflective conversation, Jamie. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, I'll just I'll say thank you again, and I'll put stop to record just now. I really greatly appreciate it. I know that our listeners will also appreciate it.
And, it was a pleasure to do. Thank you for involving me.
Thank you again, and we'll speak soon.
Absolutely.
For more podcasts in this series, go to portal.rcs.ac.uk/arts-educator-interviews.